we began to conversate. And we went outside. And he just said, thank God. And I looked at him. I said, man, I'm going to be real honest with you right now. I'm just going to be real honest. I did not want to do this. I want my money. However, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, told me to do this. Therefore, that's what I did. So, yeah, thank God. Because Monica didn't want to do that. And I looked him square in the face and I told him that. And then I told him, that I wanted to listen to the Lord. And then I told him, I hope this shows you that they are real. God is real. His son Jesus is real. And the Holy Spirit is very real. Because they are the ones that put in my heart to do this. And that's why. That is the only reason. They are the only reason this debt is forgiven and paid in full.
Powerful illustration right there.
And being honest, I didn't want to. But now... Now I thank God. I can honestly thank God for relieving him and me from that debt.
That's a relational understanding.
Not everything has to be transactional.
Nope.
And I did some work for a friend not too long ago. I'm not going to say who or what the work was. But I did some work for someone recently. And the Holy Spirit told me. And this message you're bringing really hits home for me, Scott, because he literally told me as I was standing in their home, he said, not everything has to be transactional. This is your friend, and you love them. Do it for that. And so I turned to the person and I said, don't pay me for today. Because I love you, you're my friend. And not everything I do for you needs to be transactional. And I've been pondering that for a minute now, a couple weeks or so, month. I've been pondering that in my spirit, in my heart. And then you bring this word today. Because I'm one, when I hear the Holy Spirit tell me to do something, because I've been deceived so bad before, I don't want to be deceived again. But when I feel... like it's from the Spirit. When I hear it and I really feel like it is, I do it. Because, you know, it's like I think a lot of us struggle with that nowadays. The Holy Spirit tells us something or gives us instruction on something, maybe how to help someone. And we stop and think, because it sounds so weird, well, that's not God. Well, what if that's not God? What if it's not God telling me to do that? What if it is? What if it is? That's where I stand now. Yeah. If I hear something in my spirit, I've learned not to question. I've learned on my own. I've learned that if I go into something wholeheartedly believing that it's from the Lord instructed me to do it, He's going to guide me through it. And then He's going to show me. He always shows me. Good girl. See, it was me. Good job. You didn't question and you didn't doubt. You just did it. So if you catch yourself asking, what if it's not God? I want you to turn that. And I want you to ask yourself, what if it is God?
We want to pray for Teresa Ott, who had a house fire and lost everything. We want to pray for Norma Smith, whose pacemaker zapped her. She's home now recovering. Monica's brother, Thomas Prater, is having a procedure this morning. And Monica's sister, Renee, asked for prayers for her father-in-law, Robert Guilford Sr., who is back in the hospital.
All right. Let's pray over these. Gracious God, I want to lift up Teresa, Norma, and Thomas, and Robert. These prayer requests are ones that we've lifted up to you today by name. There are so many others that are on our hearts and our minds. We lift them all to you, and we ask that your will be done. And if we can participate in that will, then show us your way, for you are the way. And we ask, God, that you continue to bless us and bless these and those who in our community who are sick and who are lonely and who are lost. Help all people, especially this time of the year, to know that they're not alone, that you're with us. And for that, we give you thanks. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. And Joshua's Crossing Ministries is located right here at the Promise Center in Elk City.
The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty at 18304 East 1140 Road in Cerro, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines establish the boundaries of your life. They don't determine where you go, but they do determine where you end up. They help you slow down when everything else says speed up. They help you think before you say. There are no shortcuts to real success. Guidelines help to navigate you from where you are to where you want to be. Boundaries don't limit you. They protect you.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. at work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Bart Dyson Ford Elk City, only at BartDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power. Our guest for today is Pastor Scott Rogers. Before we get back into the message, would you be kind enough to share any information, location, times of services, or anything else that you'd like to share about your church?
Sure. Well, again, we serve, actually, my pastoral team, we serve three churches, but our primary is at Elk City United Methodist Church at 720 West Country Club. Our normal Sunday would be a 9 a.m. traditional service, 10 o'clock Sunday school, and 11 o'clock contemporary service. We also serve out at Eric United Methodist Church, and that's at 9 o'clock, and at Chapel Hill, which is south of Clinton, at 11. Obviously, we're getting closer to the holiday, and so we have a lot of opportunities. Yes. We've got Christmas cantatas and Christmas Eve services and all that, and it's an incredible month, and so we would welcome you anytime at the Methodist Church, and just thank you for that chance to kind of talk about that.
Yes.
So we talked about the first word. Now let's talk about the second word. King. I like king.
Power.
Power. Right? Money. Riches. Don't have to do it unless they want to. I like that one. I'm okay with that one. There was an old movie, History of the World, Part 1, Mel Brooks movie, where the guy goes, it's good to be the king. It's good to be the king. And the reality is, even in the Bible, king has a connotation, right? Power, prestige, and all this. Kings there's just something about them that's different. They are always different than their subjects. One of the weirdest things when you're doing Bible study is so often you'll read about a king, and literally that's the fate of the whole nation. I mean, don't even know who they are. Kings and subjects are always separated. I mean, even physically. Typically, like when I think of kings, I think of big castles, right? There's usually a moat around them with a drawbridge. I mean, they're not connected. And so it's interesting because we have this view. And again, I think most of us, if I was just to ask a kid, tell me about a king, they'd have all these images, right? But there is an image of king. It's found in Deuteronomy. I know that's a long way back there in the Bible, but it's back there. In Deuteronomy 17, it talks about an ideal king. And here's a couple of tenets from that. The first is, a king won't have many horses. Now, that's a euphemism. Horses equate armies. Now, when I think of kings, I think maybe first I think about the military, the army, right? Who's going to protect them and protect the kingdom, right? But see, an ideal king doesn't have many horses, is what Deuteronomy 17 says. Huh, that's different, isn't it? That's not expected. The second thing is that an ideal king won't have many wives. Now, obviously, you know, husband and one wife thing, but this is more about the fact that marriages typically were treaties.
And one of the things we see, especially with King Solomon later on, is a lot of his marriages were arranged. They were treaties. But what happened is not only did he make a treaty with other nations, but sometimes he would even begin to worship the gods of that other nation. So his focus would be off of the God of Israel and on the other gods. So the king, ideal king, is not to have many wives. And then the final thing is that the king is supposed to write the law and have it read to him every single day so that he follows it. Kings are supposed to make up their own rules, but this says, no, the king follows the law. You see, it's a difference, an expectational difference, right? We have this theory and this feel about what kings are about because we've seen kings for centuries, right? We even, again, I talked earlier about watching fantasy shows. I mean, there's something about that that's very, very different, right? Well, an ideal king is different. And so when you come to the place where we start talking about Jesus and we start hearing these king images, you know, descendant of David and all the things that he said about him, even to the point that it was mocking. Don't get me wrong. It was definitely pejorative. But mockingly, at his crucifixion, putting, you know, King of the Jews in multiple languages. Again, it wasn't done for because it was adoration. It was done mockingly. But the idea that a king would actually give his life for the subjects rather than the subjects giving their life for a king, that's not expected. Kings like to stay in power. Jesus doesn't run outside of the Garden of Gethsemane. I don't know if I've told this here. Maybe I have. It's probably my favorite story from the time I got to go to Israel. Was standing in the Garden of Gethsemane and realizing he would have seen for a mile. The temple's literally, I mean, because of the way the valley, Kidron Valley is, I mean, you're at the Garden of Gethsemane and the temple's like right there. Now, it's almost a mile because you got to go down the valley, but he would have seen in the dark. He could have seen them for almost a mile coming with their torches, and that's at least 10 or 15 minutes. And the reality is the Garden of Gethsemane has many exits. Jesus could have gone, could have seen them, head out the back door, and none of this happens. He could have. I didn't really recognize that till I was there, and I was like, huh. Because the Gospel of John sort of makes it clear this is all orchestrated by Jesus. And it was, because he could have easily gotten away. But he didn't. He didn't stay in power like that. And then, on top of all of those things, after being arrested and wrongly convicted, flogged, and then had to carry the cross, and then eventually crucified, even the point where they're spitting on him and tearing his clothes, this is when his king should have come out. This is where he calls down the 10,000 legions of angels and smites them all. This is where he drops down the thunder, right? This is when he does what they say. They tell him, you know, hey, you could save others, but you can't save yourself. This is when he comes down off the cross like, look at this. You want to mess with me? You know who I am? That's what a king should do, right? That's what I expect. But instead, we get, I would argue, the most unexpected line in the entire Bible. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Just for the record, forgiveness would not be the first thing on my mind in that scenario. But it is Jesus's. You see, Jesus redefines king. Do you remember what I was talking about forgiveness, about embodying it? Jesus is the embodiment of forgiveness. Everything he does is about forgiveness. Everything he does is about rectifying and rebuilding relationships that have been broken, whether because of sin or strife, sometimes because of leprosy, sometimes because of class, sometimes because of prejudice. Look at all the things that Jesus does to rebuild relationships. Back to that relational word again. That's the kind of king he is. And so when you put those together, forgiving king. No, I don't think it makes a lot of sense on the front side. I think about it and I'm like, nah. But the more I look, the more I reflect, the more I am convinced there is no other way to see who Jesus really is. This is who he is. He is king. I mean, he really is the Lord of our life, the King of the universe. But that king is one who embodies forgiveness. He is a forgiving king. And we, as his subjects, not only, this is what's crazy about this, not only do we receive the benefit of that, our own forgiveness of sin, our own new life and new birth, if we really call ourselves Christians, Christ followers, if we really are followers of the King, then you have to think about what Paul said. We are to imitate Christ. So therefore, not only are we people who receive forgiveness, here it comes, but we are the people who embody and share forgiveness. Now, having said all that, let's go back to our prayer we started with a long time ago in this, you know, almost an hour ago. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses or sins, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Once again, under the direction of the forgiving King. You see, it all ties back together. We aren't just transactional people. We are relational people. It doesn't make sense to the outside world. Again, I even said it. I mean, I'm a Christian pastor. I've done this almost for 25 years now. And I have taught on the crucifixion story, I mean, countless different times, right? But I almost say it every time I teach it. I did just a few minutes ago. If that was me on the cross and I had the power Jesus had, I'm smiting. I'm calling down the thunder, right? My first instinct is not, Father, forgive them. But it should be. And that's part of what the lesson of the forgiving King is about. Because we as humans take everything, so many things as transactional. Because we are so quick to receive and not give. Thank goodness for forgiving King who forgives us to give us another chance to try again. But this is who we are called to be. A forgiving King allows us to be a forgiving people. A forgiving King allows us to take the weight of the world off our shoulders and help take it off somebody else. A forgiving King shows us what the world is supposed to be like. Is that different than the world we live in? Yes, very much so. But it is the call of the King. And so, I know the words sometimes, forgiveness and King don't go together, but they really do. Because that is who Jesus is. And we are privileged to be the subjects of that forgiving King. And so as such, may we live out that truth. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Relational, not transactional. That's the forgiving King.
Thank you, sir. I don't know about anybody else, but I needed to hear this today. And it's confirmation. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate your willingness to come in and share the word of God.
My pleasure.
From all of us here in the studio, you already know I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of the day. From all of us here in the studio, y'all have a blessed day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from Tina Dobbs, from Pastor Scott Rogers, y'all have a super blessed day. Stay tuned for the Truth Broadcast.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.